Okay, well, hello, Vineyard family, friends, and people who may tune into the channel here. Terry Somerville here with you. I've got, Barry asked me to put together my message on YouTube, so those that aren't at church on Sunday to hear me preach, you can hear what I've got to share for Sunday morning. So here it is, and I say a big God bless you. I hope you're doing real good. You know what? It's never as good as hearing someone preach in person. It's a whole lot more interactive and dynamic when I can look into your eyes and, you know, we're moving in the Spirit and the Spirit of God's flowing and all that sort of stuff. But let me give you the things that I'm going to teach on Sunday for you to pray over. And I do pray for you right now that the Lord will really help you and bless you as you hear these things, because these are things that we all have to walk out that I'm going to share. I'm going to talk about forgiveness. I'm not talking about God forgiving us so much as how we need to forgive others. And actually, they're linked together in the Bible. And I've known and ministered to a lot of people over the years, especially when I was a pastor for years, who were bound up, absolutely locked up, couldn't seem to receive the grace of God, were praying and their prayers weren't answered. Some were in affliction and sick. And when I would pray with them and talk with them, I found out there's this bitterness, there's this unforgiveness, there's something buried down in their life where they hadn't let go. And what happens is when you won't forgive, we'll get to these scriptures in a minute. Jesus said the Father in heaven doesn't forgive you. In other words, grace from God is linked to our willingness to forgive others. And when we're not willing or don't know or haven't forgiven others, then the grace of God gets blocked. And I'll share some stories about that. But here's something here. Just let me put this scripture up. Come on up there. Peter came to Jesus and asked him, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who has sinned against me? Seven times? No, he says, I tell you, seven times, 70 times seven. Right there, 70 times seven. In other words, you keep on forgiving. You don't stop forgiving. This is part of our lifestyle in Christ, because Christ has forgiven us, and we are commanded to forgive one another. There's a flow of grace that operates. You've come into a different kingdom. You see, the kingdom of this world and the fallen nature want payback. We say, you owe me. But Jesus taught us to even pray to the Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us or are debtors. Forgive us, Lord, as we forgive. There's this flow. So it's so important. Let me just make a distinction here between repentance and forgiveness. Because you'll see lots of places, you know, someone repents and we forgive them. But a lot of people, right now in our culture, it's going on, think that if the other guys will repent, if the, you know, right now, what's going on? All the Black Lives Matter. If all the white people would repent, then the pain in the Black community will be relieved. If all the, you know, this people would repent, then that will be relieved. If that person would only repent to me, then I'd be free. And if they'd only acknowledge what they do, what if they don't acknowledge what they do? What if they're dead? Are you going to be bound? And see, the problem we have in our culture right now is not for so many people to all of a sudden get broken down and admit they did this and that. The problem is the pain that's in people that won't forgive. There's been a whole lot of acknowledgement of sin that's gone on. I've been participated in it from time to time over the years. But unless a people or an individual person will then forgive, the person who is the offender repents. That's the medicine. If you're the offender, if you've done something wrong and repent, according to 1 John. If you repent of your sin, God is just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You're free. Repentance frees the offender. Forgiveness frees the offended. And it may be you've been all these years wanting to be free because someone did something. Maybe they're even dead now, but you can be free. Christ has given it to you. It comes from forgiveness. So, yeah, like I said, God has linked this together. Let's look at the, and this is why I'm doing it at the radio station here, because I can run it through the computer and link these things up. I hope the sync is good for you. But let's look at this parable that Jesus gave us. Right after he said this, forgive 70 times 7, he says, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like a king that wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Well, the king is God, right? And he began to settle. A man came to him who owned 10,000 talents of gold. Now, this is like a gazillion dollars. I mean, this is millions and billions. He was not able to pay him. So the master ordered all that he had, his wife and his children and everything, be sold to repay the debt. And, you know, they'd all end up in debtor's prison and working it off. And at this, the servant fell on his knees, humbling himself. Be patient with me. I'll pay everything, he says. And the master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. Look at this. This is your relationship to God. This is where you have asked the Lord for forgiveness. He has pity on you. You have a debt you cannot pay. And he forgives you. And he frees you from your sin. He frees you. He cancels the debt that you can never pay. No matter high or low it is, he's canceled the debt. But look what happens here. And this is the point of the story. Jesus is telling the story of how this servant was wicked and didn't continue to forgive. So he goes out after he's let go. And when the servant went out, he found a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii, like $100. Grabs him by the throat, begins to choke him, pay back what you owe me. His servant does the same thing, falls to his knees and begs him, be patient with me and I'll pay it back. Right? And no, he won't be patient. He refused. Instead, he went off and he did what the king was going to do to him. He has the man thrown in prison until he pays the debt. And when the other servants saw what happened, they're outraged and went and told the king everything that happened. Okay, so this is what goes on when you won't forgive someone or haven't forgiven someone. Okay, this is like this. You totally free. We need to be free people and forgive. So the king, the master, it's called in this translation, but it's the king, called in the servant. You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I did to you? See, it's mercy. When you forgive a debt, it's mercy. And now I want you to notice this next bit. In anger, he hands him over to the jailers to be tortured until the debt is paid back. When we won't forgive, something happens in the spirit realm. Torture takes place. And you look at the anguish of people who haven't forgiven. Look at what's going on in our land right now. Torture. And the torturers are like demonic. These are demon spirits. Torture people. Okay? There it is. That tortures. Now, listen, here's the point. Look at this. Jesus says, this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. I was thinking about that scripture where the Apostle Paul spoke of turning that wicked man in the church in Corinth over to Satan for the destruction of his body, that his soul might be saved. That's torturing. Yeah, that's torturing. It's, Jesus said, you know, when we pray, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. We forgive. If we don't, Jesus' words here, and it's in a bunch of other places, not just here, is the fathers won't forgive you. The grace of God for you doesn't work. It won't happen. It hinges. It hits the wall when you don't forgive. Now, I'm saying all this because this applies to some of you. Listen, I know this from being a pastor for 25 years. I know. I don't know how many times I've ministered to people and walk them through forgiveness. And a lot of times you hit people who won't. And I've got a lot of stories, but the most dramatic story is this woman that when I was a pastor in Bermuda, and early on when I was there, she came to me and she's asking me to pray for her terrible arthritis. And she was so crippled up with arthritis sometimes, she'd have to phone to get help getting out of bed. And what was interesting about it is, of course, I was willing to pray for her, but as soon as I went to pray for her, the Holy Spirit says, ask her about her family. And so I said, you know, yeah, let's pray. But first, I feel God wants me to ask you about your family. How's your relationship to your family? Her face went sour and contorted right then. She had this issue with her son over some inheritance from property or something. I don't know what it was. And obviously, it went right into her soul. And I said to her, you need to forgive him. This could be a roadblock to you being healed. This could be why you're going through this. No, I won't forgive him. I can't forgive him. He never said he was sorry. He, and all these reasons why you can't forgive. Did you notice that the forgiveness that Jesus calls us to have is unconditional, like our forgiveness from God? See, it's a debt, right? And we have to humble our, when we forgive someone, we're humbling ourselves. We're saying, they owe me, but I'm saying, I won't collect. It's like you take the IOU and you tear it up, you know? So anyway, in Bermuda, she wouldn't do that. And number of times, every time she'd ask me to pray, I'd approach the subject, and she wouldn't. She was growly about it. And a couple of years into our stay there, we were actually at her house for an event. And they called it prayer suppers. And we seek Lord. And that night, the Holy Spirit fell. We were all sitting waiting for dessert to come out. All of a sudden, God's Spirit goes whoosh down on the gathering. Like, oh, the presence of God just came down thick. And I told them, they were bringing dessert out from the kitchen behind me. I said, take the dessert back. God's doing something. And I looked around and I see people starting to weep at the table, and this is going on and that, and God's doing something. Some, they start praying with one of the women there who had cancer. They start doing, you know, all this. And I said to this lady who was a hostess, I went over to her and I said, will you forgive your son now? And she's crying, yes, I forgive him. Yes, I do forgive him. And then I put my hands on her and I said, then in the name of Jesus, be healed, your arthritis, get out of her. Bam, she hit the floor, and she was down for like, I don't know, 20 minutes or something. She gets up utterly and completely healed. And she was like that for the whole rest of the time that we lived there. Completely free, completely healed, happy as could be. And that just tells you, see, she was in the hands of the torturers. Wouldn't forgive. Now, here's the sad part of the story. I found out some years after we had gone, she had some bitter dispute with someone else in the church and wouldn't forgive them. She went back to the old thing, and guess what happened? The arthritis came back. That's what I was told. My God. You see, we're called to flow in the grace of peace, love, joy, forgiveness, blessing for each other. Not in this bitterness IOU thing. Look at what Paul says here. Let's look at here. Let's look at Ephesians 4. And here's what he says. He says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to your neighbor. We're all members of one body. In your anger, you know, what's that? Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil a foothold. What does that mean? What does that mean? Means we're going to get angry. Stuff's going to happen to us. But deal with it. don't let it linger and stay overnight even. If you do, the devil, the torturer, gets a foothold. Now, you know, I've had fights with Karen where you're angry overnight. I remember the scripture. I thought, Lord, I'm going to go and apologize. I'm going to go. And I go, I can't. I know I can't stay there and let bitterness set in. Bitterness will set in and unforgiveness will set in. The devil gets a foothold. And we love each other and resolve it. We know how to walk this out. We had to learn how to walk this out the hard way. And then down later on, he says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful to build up others in need. Don't grieve the Spirit of God that you were sealed for redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. There you go. Look at that. Wow. Now, just before I close, I want to explain one other thing. You can not only be unforgiving and bitter and need to forgive someone who hurt you. One of the huge problems right now that we have is we can also take up the offense of another person. In other words, we think there's injustice and someone else was hurt and offended, and there was no reconciliation, but we get offended and bitter about what happened to them, not to us. They don't owe us, they owe them, right? That other person. But somehow we take offense at it, and it will do the same thing. You need to release and forgive. Some of you can be offended at what so-and-so did to so-and-so. What somebody said about somebody, what you see on the internet, what's going on in politics. You can get offended, third-party offense. You see it, a third-hand offense. It's not yours. It's not anybody that you're even related to. You might not even know them. I've had to deal with this in church, too, as a pastor. One person getting offended at another person in a situation they had nothing to do with. And then spreading the garbage around the church that pollutes the church atmosphere, ruins the Spirit of God, grieves the Holy Spirit. We wonder where all the worship and the presence of God went, because this is going on and had to confront it. It's called offense. The Bible calls it offense. And you know what? It's interesting. Offense is the same word in the Bible and in the Greek as a bait stick. What's a bait stick? Have a look at this if I can get it to go up. Okay, here's a trap. See this? And what happens is this big rock. Animal comes along. You attach some bait down at the bottom there, that stick. Animal comes along and pulls on the bait. Big rock falls on the animal. That is the same word as offense. That stick is the offense. And what happens? Somebody does something wrong. You come along and take offense at what they did, even though they didn't do it to you. This to someone else. You're trapped. Same trap. And look at what it says here. Jesus said, it's impossible that no offenses will come. In other words, stuff's going to happen. Stuff's going to happen. Whoop, let me highlight that. Offenses will come. Woe to him that threw. Take heed to yourself, brothers. He says, offenses will come. Don't let them come. Don't you give offense to someone else. Don't you pass on these offenses and this unforgiveness to other people. Don't you do it. He said, the one that does this, oh, better than a millstone hung around his neck and thrown into the sea. Take heed to yourself, brothers. If someone sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times a day, daily, say, you forgive him. Wow. So I want to challenge you right now. Is anyone out there wrestling with unforgiveness, offense? You know, because when I'm talking about this, the Holy Spirit, if you're a born-again Christian, when I'm talking about this and reading what the words of Jesus are, the Holy Spirit's going, this is you. He put his finger right straight on stuff in your life, right as I've been talking. I have a question for you from God is, will you now forgive that one who sinned against you? And how do you do it? Same way you find forgiveness from God. They're linked, remember I said? If we repent of our sin, we're faithful and just to forgive our... God is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How did you get forgiven from God in the first place? You confess your sin. You say, Lord, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for this or that. And in 1 John, it says he will forgive you. Same thing with forgiveness. You say, Lord, this person did this against me. They owe me. I now forgive them of the debt. I forgive them for doing that. You say it. You pray it and say it to God. It's the same thing. It's activated. The kingdom of God is voice activated. You say it and pray it, and it's done. And then you don't grab it again because you can take it up again. If you've taken offense to a third party thing, this can be worse. Because you think you are allowed to. You think you can keep on doing it and it's okay because that person's bad. Listen, man, I see some of the stuff you guys post, different ones post on Facebook. Stop that and forgive. Forgive the politicians. Forgive, you know, be flowing with grace. But let me say this. What this requires is for you to confess that you have sinned by taking up an offense, a third-party offense. You've taken it up personally. It wasn't yours to be personal. You're butting in, you're taking over, you're taking it. It wasn't yours to take. And the enemy traps you, you're tormented. It churns around, it keeps coming up in you. Oh, how hard it is to let go, because we have to let, you know, when we forgive, we have to admit we're trapped. It's our soul wants, our natural soul wants payback. And you say, no, I lay it down. Lord, you forgive me. Now I forgive. And you can forgive the third party. And finally, let me say this, you guys. You can forgive even those that have died. I help people through that. Women that were sexually abused by men, uncles or whatever, and they're dead. If they would just say it, kingdom of God's voice activated. If you would just say it, I forgive for this. God, I forgive so-and-so for this that they did to me. You'll feel the relief start to come. And you stay there, stay in the flow of grace of God. Then the grace of God begins to run over you and through you. God's forgiveness comes. Torture has to leave. He has to go. Because you're back flowing in the grace of the kingdom of God. Lord, I bless Vineyard and those listening to me right now in Jesus' name. May you be free. Amen. God bless you guys.